This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Geddy Lee, the lead singer of Rush, probably joining us Tuesday or Wednesday.
Aww.
He's selling off his baseball memorabilia, and he's got one of the more impressive collections of anybody in America. So we'll talk to Geddy Lee, the lead singer of Rush. The Mercedes-Benz Holiday Love Celebration is here. Incredible offers there. Find an exclusive offer on a vehicle that you'll adore now through January 2nd. Learn more at mbusa.com/special offers. Always great to see Brady Quinn. Brady, part of the Big Noon Kickoff crew. They were in Happy Valley on Saturday for Michigan's win. And the former NFL quarterback joining us on the program. What did you expect to happen? Like Friday, when you're in Happy Valley and Michigan's coming in, did you think Jim Harbaugh was coaching on Saturday?
Well, initially when I woke up, I did, until Tony Petitti, the Big Ten commissioner, had suspended him for the rest of the regular season. And then we kind of got word that Michigan understood this was going to happen. And because of that, they were going to file a TRO and try to create an injunction, which I'm no legal expert, so I'm not going to dive into that. But just from being a player during the lockout back after, 2010, 2011, I knew enough to know that, like, well, this is a holiday weekend. We're supporting our veterans, honoring our veterans. And typically, courts don't rule very fast on this. So if they think they're going to be able to get an injunction, it's probably not going to happen in time for this game, maybe sometime next week. But I think the crazy thing, DP, was I've never gone into like a studio show, and you could probably, admit to this too. Like 80-90% of what you prepare for probably goes into the show. When we got up Saturday morning, we had to prepare for like so many different scenarios. I mean, we were honestly waiting for like Jim Harbaugh just to walk out onto the field, and the athletic director at Penn State, Pat Kraft, said he wasn't going to get in the way of it. And we were like fully prepared for like what's going to happen in that moment. Like, do we have a live camera on his hotel room? Like as he walks out and gets into the car to drive to the stadium there, and everyone's booing him. He's looking like the villain. Like I was picturing a WWE type entrance there in Happy Valley. It unfortunately didn't happen, but that was some of the greatest drama I've ever seen when it comes to a college football game, at least the preparation for it.
Let's look at the Big Ten side of this. What exactly are they doing? What do they have to do? What are they, you know, because you got to say to everybody else in the Big Ten, nobody's above, you know, the rules and everything. But help us understand what you think the Big Ten is hoping to accomplish here.
I think they're trying to appease every other Big Ten school, their coach, their athletic directors and presidents, who are looking at this situation saying the NCAA clearly must have enough evidence to be able to look at Michigan and claim that they've broken a rule for sportsmanship and they should be able to be punished. But we don't want to have to wait until after the season for that to be the case. And where Jim Harbaugh, who knows what could happen? He could go on to the NFL and this team could go on to win a national championship. And they feel like they probably need to, you know, listen to the rest of the Big Ten coaches out there that feel like, hey, this has been going on for a while. And we feel like, you know, they're in the wrong here and this needs to stop. The tough thing is it's a precedent that Tony Petitti is going to be setting now in his first year. And I think the thing where my mind wanders to is when I got drafted in the NFL in 2007, You know, Roger Goodell took over as NFL commissioner, and there always existed this player conduct policy within the collective bargaining agreement, but no one had really enforced it the way Roger Goodell did. And I think as he enforced the player conduct policy, there are some unforeseen situations that came up that he was then going to be on the hook for and having to make decisions on, and how he's going to punish players and how one player would be compared to another. And I almost wonder if that's where the Big Ten, or in this case, Tony Petitti, is going with this, where he's going to open up a bunch of other potential issues where if anything happens to a Big Ten team, you know, do they have the investigative arm to be able to look through this and come up with a decision that's not going to somehow end up in the courts? And I think the other thing is, it sounds like, at least from what the Big Ten stated, everything that they're basing their decision to suspend Jim Harbaugh off of was all based on an NCAA investigation, which is unprecedented. So I kind of look at this and wonder where it stops for Tony Petitti moving forward based on the punishment, not just for a head coach, but the players involved too. And also, it sounded like from their words, they're punishing Jim Harbaugh because he's the figurehead, but they don't necessarily have any direct ties to him yet outside of he was the head coach there. So it seems like there's still a lot to sort out over the course of the next few weeks, maybe even months, until we know everything. But it feels like also it could be open up Pandora's box for Tony Petitti moving forward.
Yeah, I kept saying due process. Just if they're guilty, they're guilty. But now as we keep going on, and maybe this is, you know, move to the end of the postseason, is there a chance Michigan has to forfeit wins? If you're guilty of cheating, like, what is cheating and what are you... You know, what do you lose if that's going to... Harbaugh might be suspended for the rest of the regular season, but could they be throwing away a couple of seasons here full of, you know, these victory totals?
Possibly. I mean, who knows? I mean, we've seen the punishment the NCAA has handed out before. It's always kind of like retroactive. They vacate wins and yeah, take away postseasons. And it ends up hurting the current players, not the past players or coaches who was a part of whatever was going on. So it doesn't really seem just, in my mind at least. I think the interesting thing you bring up, though, is like, how far does this go as far as providing Michigan an advantage? And I'm sure that opinion varies depending on the coach you talk to. You know, there's some coaches who don't think it, you know, it helps them quite as much. There's some who think it's a huge advantage. I mean, if you think about like the information they're gathering and the data, it's all, you know, going to be applied to hopefully the right situations once you get into the game. And you're hoping that if Michigan's scouting everyone out, that everyone's using the same signals, same calls. I mean, nowadays it feels like everyone's got sign stealers that are on sidelines trying to figure that out in game. Who knows if there's other schools doing this and they just haven't been caught for doing this. And so there's just a lot of questions as to the advantage that this actually gives Michigan. And I think from a former player, what bothers me about it is it almost takes away from the success this team's had the past couple of years on the field. I mean, this team has been dominant on the, like, I'll put it this way, this past week, they didn't need to steal any signs. In fact, they didn't need to throw the football in the second half versus Penn State. They ran the ball 32 straight times. They had one pass attempt that ended up getting wiped out for DPI, and they still beat Penn State in Happy Valley.
But why, like, do it, though, Brady? Why do you have somebody who is decoding this if it doesn't help?
That's the hard thing.
Or you don't need it.
I think, who knows, again, how long this has been going on. There's pictures of Connor Stallions on the sidelines of Michigan that predates when a lot of these allegations have been brought up. So I don't know. I mean, if you're only saying, hey, he's only been there the past 2 years, that's not the truth. He's been there before that. And so was it helping them when they weren't winning the Big Ten and they weren't having as great of an advantage? There's still so many questions. I think the reason why you do it is because, like anyone else, you're always trying to find an edge. And they probably thought this was something that, you know, wasn't over the bounds, or if it was against the rules, maybe it was a rogue actor in this case. There's still so much we don't know in this case. So I don't want to speculate on all of it, but I would say this. I feel for the current players that are there. I think they've responded in a manner where they're like, you think we're stealing signs? Like, we'll show you. Like, we'll show you just how good we are. Connor Stallions isn't here anymore. Our head coach has been suspended earlier this year. He wasn't here for this game. We'll just keep winning football games and moving forward. So that's where my thought goes, is I'm just more concerned about the players that are involved in all this and how it impacts them moving forward.
Talking to Brady Quinn, he was at Penn State for Michigan's win. I guess you guys are groupies for Michigan. You're just going to follow them. That's your band. Michigan is going to play Maryland, so you guys are on the road with Michigan again?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of worked out where we had that game anyway, which has typically been our model moving forward. And obviously, we have Ohio State, Michigan, which we were going to be at, you know, probably regardless of whether we had that game, but we're fortunate enough to have it every year. So it made a lot of sense coming off the story based on what we're anticipating happening with Harbaugh, maybe even being back coaching next week for the next 2 weeks of the regular season, depending on the injunction. So it just kind of followed suit with our, you know, with what we were doing. So again, hopefully we get that live camera on Jim Harbaugh. Like that's, I've pitched that DP and I'm not even lying to you. I've told our producer, Bardia, I was like, man, we need to get his hotel, a live camera. Like if we can get a shot of him, just like kick back, you know, legs up, just watching the game, or maybe he's up pacing, like who knows? That would be great live TV, like a live camera on Jim Harbaugh, and then also a second box, you know, two boxes with the game going on as well.
I agree. We brought it up over the weekend. We would love to have, instead of the game, I wanted to watch Harbaugh watch the game. I thought exactly. that would have been great. Let me ask you about C.J. Stroud and, you know, the kind of the pre-draft information smear campaigns that happened, because I remember when C.J. Stroud was coming out and the knock was, could he process the information at the line of scrimmage? And I think there was something, a cognitive test, and he didn't do well, and that got leaked here. How much of that happens even now, that a team may want C.J. Stroud, but then they have to pollute the waters to make sure you don't take C.J. Stroud?
Yeah, a team may do it. An agent may do it. I think the agents are a lot more in that process, too, of leaking out information like that than even the teams in that case. So everyone's trying to throw out smoke screens and posture. I mean, that was the thing that never really made sense about that. And I've never taken that cognitive test. I'm not sure how effective it is. I know there's a lot of people who really believe in it or portions of it. But when you watch the tape, you never saw that. And that was one where, you know, maybe if you get a test like that, you go back and watch it and it either confirms it or it doesn't. But I've always been a big advocate of saying, like, what does the tape tell you? And the things about C.J. Stroud's game, which made him the number two overall pick and made him potentially, looking back on it, where we should have looked at it and said he should have been the number one overall pick, is his accuracy and playing from the pocket. Like he was so accurate and lethal downfield throwing the football. And that's what wins. Like as much as we get enamored with players who can extend plays and create off, you know, script plays, because those are the splash wild plays, that's still not always what wins Super Bowls. I mean, Tom Brady is the best case of that. Obviously the greatest of all time, in my opinion. And he played from the pocket and won from the pocket. Now, Mahomes has the ability to create, and he's obviously trying to chase down Tom Brady now. So we'll see where that goes. But that was one of those things that when you looked at CJ Stroud's game, you could have made the case he was the most NFL prepared from that perspective of any of the quarterbacks who were up in last year's draft. You really didn't have any concerns outside of like some of the smoke screens and stuff that people would throw out there.
Yeah, I just watched the Georgia game, and I go, he can play. I mean, he's great, and he's showing that. Is Texas A&M a big-time program?
I think it is. I think when you've got the money to buy out a coach for almost $77 million, I think you have to look at it as one, or one that can even pay a coach that. They've obviously recruited at a really high level, and they've got a storied tradition and history. It's just we haven't seen the results. We've seen flashes of it. But we haven't seen really the results that I think their fan base thinks they should be getting. And quite honestly, probably what the AP poll is most responsible for. And that's the fact that if you look at the last three seasons, they've started the preseason ranked top 25, maybe top 20, top 15.
Yeah.
And then as the season's worn on, they've faded away to the point where they've been unranked. And I think that's a byproduct of the fact that we have these preseason rankings that are based on what? I mean, I know why we do them. Like you have to do them. It's part tradition, but part like you're selling the games. There's so many teams. It's like, well, if they don't have a number next to them, like, God, is anyone going to watch? It's like, well, yeah, they're still going to watch, but maybe it doesn't feel as important or we can't sell it. I've always been a big advocate of just saying like the AP poll doesn't even matter anymore. Like this is now about the College Football Playoff Committee.
Yeah.
So why have rankings until then? You just see the record.
Well, sometimes we'll look at a team and we'll go, God, what's wrong with them? Well, what's wrong with them is they were ranked too high to begin with, or somebody was ranked too low and they're like, wow, nobody saw this one coming.
Yeah, and most of those rankings are based on like, hey, maybe how they finished the year before,
sure,
how many guys they have coming back. What's the recruiting rankings? We typically look at recruiting classes and go, oh, well, if they're a top 10 class, they've got to be able to win a bunch of football games, right? They have talent. And when it's not an exact science measuring how a kid's going to transition from high school to college football. And I think we've seen evidence of that specifically with Texas A&M and how a lot of that star-studded class a few years ago really transitioned into College Station. And there was some locker room issues, cultural issues. And look, Jimbo Fisher's got to be responsible for that. I think that's what you saw at Florida State towards the end of his tenure, like that kind of falling apart. Yeah. And I think that's what's happened here. I mean, he constructed a good staff, but they just couldn't figure out a way of winning. And I think the last thing I'll just point to is quarterback development and having a guy that can play. You know, you had Jameis Winston. He won a Heisman. He helped win a national championship and go to the college football playoff. I don't know that Jimbo Fisher was able to kind of find that guy to help carry them at Texas A&M or develop that guy to become that. Outside of Kellen Mond, which I think, you know, had their best year in that COVID year, which was kind of a hit or miss year for a lot of teams.
Did we send you a t-shirt? We made up a t-shirt, the Will Ferrell yelling at you from the sidelines. Hey, 10, your pants are too high.
I thought it'd be like a Beefo Brady t-shirt at this point.
No, no,
like
no. Paulie's going out to get it. Are you a double XL?
I mean, I would like to think I'm a quadruple XL, but I'm probably not like an XL now, honestly.
An XL?
Yeah, okay. I'm a guy who's wearing golf shirts now, DP. It's not fun getting old.
What like happened to you?
I can't hit the ball as far off the tee. I try power lifting, and I like hurt my back half the time.
So. Here's the t-shirt.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you. Did you get Will one too, though? Did he get one as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we made up a few of these. So if you would like a t-shirt, you know, we'd be more than happy to send you a couple. You know what? You have all your daughters. You know, maybe we could send it for the entire family. You'd have to explain to them exactly what it means. But Will Ferrell yelling at you from the sidelines at USC Notre Dame, making fun of your pants.
Look, if you're going to be famous for one thing, like, I'll take that. Like, I'd love to be famous for Will Ferrell heckling me on the sidelines that my pants were too high.
Yeah. Great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks for having me.
That's Brady Quinn. They'll be in College Park. It's Michigan and Maryland. The Big Noon kickoff crew, Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, the show that precedes ours on Fox Sports Radio. Take a break. Play of the day. Your phone call's up next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Listen to Comeback Stories. I'm Darren Waller. You may know me best as a tight end for the New York Giants. You may also know me for my story of overcoming addiction and alcoholism. You may have heard a few of my tracks as an artist or a producer. And you may have seen the work that I've done through my foundation. And you may know my friend and co-host, Donnie Starkins, as well. He's a mindfulness teacher, a yoga instructor, a life coach, a man fully invested in seeing people reach their fullest potential. And we've come to form this platform of Comeback Stories to really highlight not only our own adversity, but adversity in the lives of well-known guests with amazing stories. Catch us every week on Comeback Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win, but that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app. Like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It's hour two on this Monday. Best and worst of the weekend. What you saw that you liked, you didn't like. Operator Tyler standing by. Good morning. If you're watching this program, our streaming partner is Peacock. Our radio affiliates around the country, including iHeartRadio and Fox Sports Radio. Broncos at the Bills coming up tonight. The Broncos are getting 7 points. And if you're curious about the over-under, it's 47.5. Iowa football. Iowa did it again. The under. Shut out Rutgers 22-0. They had the ball inside the 10 and had a chance to score. Had they scored, they would have surpassed the over-under. But nope. Hey, this is a offensive explosion for Iowa football. They had 22 points. And I thought Rutgers football was back. Iowa is in the Big Ten title picture, as strange as that may sound.
Yeah.
What's their record?
They're 8-2. And with that punt return that should have given, they should be 9-1. Mm-hmm. And right now they're on pace to be in the Big Ten title game versus Michigan or Ohio State.
The odds from DraftKings, your national champion is Michigan right now, followed by Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, and Oregon. We'll find out probably later on today what's the next step for Michigan and then how the Big Ten counteracts that after what happened over the weekend. Texas A&M needs a new head coach, Jimbo Fisher. He got a golden parachute. Maybe platinum? This is the biggest, you know, payout that we've ever had with a college coach.
By far for college
football. Yeah, so a golden parachute. Feels like it needs to be diamond-encrusted parachute there.
It's definitely platinum or something.
Yeah, something like that. Texans over the Bengals. You know, that's where the Texans didn't blink. You're playing in Cincinnati. The Bengals have been playing well. And C.J. Stroud had his moments where he was really good. Had a couple of bad moments there, or potentially bad moments. But they ended up winning. And now you have to look at the Texans as a legitimate threat to win that division. Niners roll the Jags. Browns beat the Ravens and the Lions over the Chargers. I was looking at this. When you look at the AFC North right now, and it's the most competitive division in football. But so you have the Browns last second. They trailed for over 59 minutes of that game. The Baltimore Ravens are 7-3. Cleveland is 6-3. Pittsburgh is 6-3. Cincinnati is a dangerous 5-4. Week 11, Bengals at the Ravens. That's Thursday night. Steelers at the Browns on Sunday. It's like they're cannibalizing each other. But, man, that is a competitive, competitive division. Yeah, Paulie?
I got a game to look forward to. January 7th, Pittsburgh Steelers at Baltimore Ravens. Mm. Flex that one in national TV. Mm. That could be for the playoff, for the division.
Yes, Marvin.
Is the Coach of the Year candidacy, is that over? D'Amico Ryans has it? Is that one?
Well, it's like Deion was Coach of the Year in the first month of the season. Deion's not the Coach of the Year. They lost again. They have to win their last two games if he's going to be bowl eligible this year. But, you know, we tend to hand out those awards in the first month of the season. We hand out the Heisman every year, September, and we're like, ooh, where did that guy go? D'Amico Ryan's done a wonderful job. He has. You know, here's a defensive player, former defensive player. The defense is better. Bengals had a chance. Yeah. Joe Burrow had a couple of big plays there. They had a big drop there as well, but you got to win that game. But give credit. Give credit where it's deserved. And that team going into Cincinnati. Also, T.J. Watt had his 88th career sack. That is second most sacks by a player in his first 100 NFL games. Only Reggie White has more. If your name is ever mentioned with Reggie White, and it has to do with a defensive stat, you're doing really well. He surpassed his brother. J.J. had 87.5. T.J. had his 88th career sack.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
Five games decided by a made field goal as time expired. That's the most in a single day in NFL history. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Also, Dan's deals, make sure you sign up. These are great. Love being a part of this. It's our Black Friday before Black Friday. We're able to partner with new brands that we love, and all the deals are at least 50% off, some 60 or even more. If you missed out on the Mother's Day deals that we have, you'll love this. We'll help you with your holiday shopping. Sign up for the DP Show newsletter and do so by Wednesday of this week. You'll get first access to the savings. Sign up, danpatrick.com. Enter your email address in the box that slides out. Bottom right corner. Poll question for hour two is what? Let's recap what we had in hour one, Seton.
Well, Dan, for hour one, we just put up there... who had the worst weekend, Texas A&M or Jimbo Fisher?
I like it. We're laughing at others.
When you get 75 misery.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. I don't know that we're laughing at misery of anyone here. Jimbo Fisher is insanely rich, and Texas A&M is like, oh, well, I guess we have to get a new coach. I mean, I don't know if it's that bad.
Okay.
Results are still pending on that one. I'm going to put up actually a series of these. Ooh. Who had the worst weekend, Jim Harbaugh or Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti? I don't think that that's cut and dry.
All right.
Actually, here's one. Which weekend was more fun, the college football weekend or the NFL? They were both great. They were both great.
Feels like the NFL always wins.
Yeah, but this was something special in college football.
Okay, but what's the game that stands out, the actual game itself? Because Harbaugh gave us drama on Friday and Saturday. The game wasn't good.
North Carolina, Duke.
The good ones are Miami, Florida State, Utah, Washington. Even USC, Oregon was solid.
Yeah, but they weren't great.
No, Texas, they had a series of close games.
Like A&M fires their coach after a win,
yes.
And Harbaugh gets off the plane and realizes he's been suspended. That's pretty much the highlights of the college football
weekend.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
Yeah. Nothing like watching a coach get off a plane and realize he's been suspended. Can we do that in slow motion?
They had reporters out there when Harbaugh's standing with his little staff.
And oh, no.
You wish you had one of those things. Remember those things you could hear audio from 100 yards away?
Yeah. By the way, next Sunday night, Vikings battle Russell Wilson and the Broncos, Sunday 7 Eastern on NBC and Peacock.
Well, it's primetime games for Denver. Yeah. They had big plans for our group this year.
Yeah, I think they thought... Sean Payton, well, okay, let's see what happens second half of the season. They're not an embarrassment after allowing 70 points to the Dolphins. Let's see, like, this is one of those games. All right, let's see what you do tonight against Buffalo. And maybe they're just going to be an average team. The
all goes
half.
Well, 6-11, yeah. 7-10.
You beat the Chiefs a couple of weeks ago when you didn't believe, and I told you they were going to.
After losing them 16 straight times, it's hard to believe that they're going
to win. Oh, I know. I'm watching the Raiders and Jets last night, and then at one point, like, my mind couldn't even process it. It was just so bad, and like, my eyes are blurry just because I'm just watching bad football. And I like how, you know, the Raider Nation is excited about, I mean, you beat the Jets at home, and the Jets were a half-point favorite. Yes, Marv.
But a win is a win.
Okay.
Yeah. Antonio Pierce,
all right.
Culture changer.
Okay. All right. Here's Antonio Pierce, the interim head coach after the Raiders' big win over the Jets.
Our fans, they kept us in the game, their energy, their passion, their support throughout. That's what energized our guys at the end. And then if you watched at the very, you know, the last 30 seconds, I think you saw our entire bench up on the sideline rooting on our defense, talking to Devontae right next to me, Josh Jacobs. I mean, all those guys are sitting there just rallying the troops. That's what this culture is about. It's about team.
Okay. You guys are supposed to be good. Once again, you have an elite running back, elite wide receiver, elite edge rusher. How many teams have that? And how many of those teams are playoff teams? You guys should be good. You barely beat the Jets. By the way, Robert Saleh, don't dye the beard. Don't do it. Once you start, like Ryan Day at Ohio State.
He looked a lot like Ryan Day walking out there.
You can't, once you start, you never get to stop. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers out there, he's got, you know, gray in his beard. Robert Sala, once you start, then all of a sudden it's every day where you're going, oh, let me tell you, this is coming from experience. Having dyed my hair at the mothership, and you're like, God, this looks stupid. But you keep doing it. Once you start it, then you can't stop. Yes, yes, Eden.
Antonio Pierce keeps getting wins.
That's two wins.
Oh, okay, but those are the only two that he could have gotten, right? If he keeps winning, say they beat, what do they have, the Dolphins next?
Yeah.
That's a quality win. To beat an overrated Dolphins team, that is a quality win.
Let me see it happen. Let's have this discussion next week, and then if they beat the Dolphins...
Then they have the Chiefs.
Okay.
All right, Vikings, Chargers, Chiefs, Colts, Broncos. They have some... There's some dubs
some
in there,
winnable
for sure.
Yeah, winnable games.
How is it going to be hard to not hire him? Just given how he's very present, more so than a normal interim coach is. He's much more out front, playing, you know, doing... Great, getting great sound bites.
He's got a personality.
Yes.
And that's important.
And a personality that clearly players and fans are rallying around. Yes. Is it going to be more difficult to not hire him versus other interim head coaches they've had?
Well, they did this to Rich Bisaccia.
But nobody cared.
The players did.
Yeah, but the players, right. In the locker room, the players were like, oh, we love this guy. And everybody else was like, who cares? But now Antonio Pierce is right out front, and he's like, man, I grew up like this. I'm from Compton. Every soundbite is exactly right. People are rooting for this dude.
Yeah, but you're saying that nobody cared outside the locker room. That's because they got John Gruden. If you don't get John Gruden, then you're probably going to go, like, if you followed up.
With Bill Belichick?
Bill Belichick is not going to go. Now we're looking at landing spots for Bill Belichick. And there are some college football analyst insiders who I have great respect for, but when I see Belichick to the Cowboys, and I go, could you imagine that they couldn't coexist? If Jerry didn't like Jimmy getting credit, and you bring Bill in there... Mm. Washington, the Bears, you know, there's probably another team in there that, you know, Bill might have a landing spot. I don't know. Yes, Todd.
Doesn't the Commanders make sense? They can go to D.C. and say a bunch of nothing like all the politicians. That would be a perfect place.
Not bad.
All right. Todd's with us today. First appearance. Appreciate that. Got his Bronco gear on, ready to go. Big night tonight.
Let's go.
Big night. Big night tonight. Yeah, let's ride. Let me get some phone calls here. Best and worst of the weekend. Buddha, thanks for holding. Lead us off. Best and worst of the weekend.
What up, DP? Good morning, boys. Thank you, Todd. Any given Sunday, Dan. Yesterday was a lot of fun. But, Dan, the way I see it, there's no better time to go have dinner with Shay in Irving, not Shay and Irving. Than this week, man. I mean, Cowboys destroyed the lowly Giants. Morale's got to be at an all-time high. So, but best of the weekend, Dan. Chase Young and Nick Bosa reunited as me and Marvin's Niners just dominated the Jags on the road. We had, I don't know if you saw this, Dan, but we had Jag DBs making business decisions and running away for fear from a blocking Trent Williams. That was pretty hilarious. And, in the great words of Mark Grace, DP, the Niners just needed a good old-fashioned slump buster to right the ship and get back in the win column. And worst of the weekend, Dan, it's a poll question. Who'd you feel worse for this weekend? Robert Kraft, who became a meme over the weekend, Mac Jones, little Billy Belichick, or Europe in general for having to watch that mess?
They seem to be excited. I don't know if they were like piping in crowd noise to make it seem like they were really excited. Maybe they didn't understand everything that they were seeing, but I felt bad for Mac Jones. I did. He looked like just a little kid on the sidelines getting scolded by Bill O'Brien, and then you bench him. I mean, you can come back from this, but that's just one of those standalone humiliated. Because if that game was on yesterday at 1 o'clock, nobody's watching that. But standalone game, you're watching NFL Network, and I just thought Mac Jones got sent. He got a timeout. He got sent to his room and didn't get dinner. Yes, Marvin.
Oh, I hated watching that because I would, if I was Mac, Bill, what the hell have you done?
Well, no, he can say I've done everything. I'm the greatest coach of all time.
No, Bill O'Brien.
Oh, Bill O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien
you can
was.
Say.
I mean, he was like Bill Belichick probably just gave him a look.
Yeah.
Bill O'Brien. I mean, like a angry parent.
Belichick didn't even turn around. He's looking at like whatever you know stuff he had on his sheet there. He got his headset sort of on. Meanwhile, right behind him, you know, Mac Jones getting dressed down. Yes, Tom.
It's hard to feel bad for Kraft and Belichick. They got all these rings. They got legacy, all kinds of bucks. That's of the three of them, it's got to be Mac Jones sitting there with a dunce cap on.
Chad in Salt Lake City. Hi, Chad. What's on your mind today?
Good morning. Before I get to best and worst, Buddha. Mark Grace was another sports radio show. So keep your itinerary straight. And my Hawks are not gone. We will be there the rest of the season. So Niners beware. Best of the weekend, University of Washington Huskies won. Worst of the weekend, University of Washington Huskies won. My wife is a Ute fan. And like the iconic movie you were in, Dan, being a blended family is not always easy.
Thank you, Chad. Thank you, Chad. What was the Mark Grace radio show thing? It wasn't...
Mark Grace radio show is on today.
Yeah.
I miss the jingle era of
no,
radio.
No, that was terrible.
The Dan Patrick Show.
On ESPN Radio.
Radio.
I hated that.
Mike and Mike in the morning show.
I remember we had a guy at the mothership, and he was so proud of those jingles. And we were in a meeting, and then he goes, okay, and here's your jingle. The Dan Patrick Show. And then when you're watching somebody and seeing how they're reacting and you're almost trying to coach them, so he's like looking at me going, good, good, right? And I went, okay, you don't love it? I go, no, I'm not a jingle guy. Not a jingle guy. Yeah, Paul.
I always feel like, I always wonder what the singers, like there's a group of professional singers out there and they get the call like, what do you guys got to do today? We got to do a jingle for the Dan Patrick Show. And they go in, Dan Patrick. Or that, what is that, Pepto-Bismol commercial? And they've got these nice singers. Upset stomach, diarrhea. And they're doing all the singing.
Oh, my gosh. They're like, I got the part. I got the part in the commercial. I went on the audition. Oh, really? What is it? I'm one of the singing, dancing people with the diarrhea song.
I crushed it.
Yeah. Well, isn't there that...
cause a heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach.
Diarrhea!
Oh, we crush it.
Yeah. What's the one where...
Plop, plop, fizz, fizz?
No.
The Humera band where they can't make it on because the girls having issues?
Nothing means everything.
That's where the Cynthia?
Sky Rizzy.
Black psoriasis.
Sky one. Rizzy.
Sky Rizzy. Yeah. Almost sounds like a word.
It feels like they throw letters together for the latest product, and you're going, what is this?
You take a word that kind of sounds like a word, and then a bunch of gibberish, like sun plexus.
Yeah.
Sun is nice. Everyone loves sun. Sun plexus. Get it. The side effects are.
My favorite one is there's one right now for like hot flashes for women going through menopause.
Yeah.
And one of the side effects of the medicine is hot flashes. Verbatim, it's literally the reason why you're taking it is because a hot flash or a not flash. Well, why? Side effects include hot flashes. How the hell am I supposed to know then?
Symantra by Pfizer.
Yes, Todd.
Right, just call it like bathroomio or something like that. So you know exactly what the problem is, what you're dealing with. You don't have to try to guess. It's some kind of mab at the end of it, something mab.
I saw somebody say once that, may be a little inappropriate, but that gonorrhea should be like anti-diarrhea medicine.
It's gone.
Gonorrhea.
Okay.
That makes sense, actually.
Like, I totally, yeah, it should be like, oh, you got diarrhea? Take gonorrhea. Now it's gone.
Finally, gonorrhea works out for me.
Gonorrhea. They really messed up the naming there.
How about we take a break here?
Crush that. One of the best tweets of all time.
Take a break. We're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches in the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Sunday night, Vikings and the Broncos. 7 Eastern on NBC and Peacock. The Cowboys outscored the Giants by 72 points this season, the biggest point differential in a seasonal series since the 07 Patriots outscored the Buffalo Bills by 77.
Start of the day, 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 start of the day.
Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Since 2020, the Chargers have 13 losses by 3 points or less, most in the NFL. They went toe-to-toe with the Lions, but the Lions proved that they're not the old Lions. The Chargers proved that they're the same old Chargers. Broncos, Bills coming up tonight. We're talking a little bit about Draymond Green, some of these teams. And what did you call the Washington Wizards, Marvin? Did you?
The most unserious franchise ever?
Unserious franchise. Do you think when coaches try to get a player's attention and then they say the following, hey, if you keep acting up, I'm going to send you to the Wizards. Oh, no, coach, no. No, 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 I'm sorry. I apologize. Because if you go to the Wizards, you might as well go to the G League. It's like, where did he go? Yes, Marvin.
Yeah, and it's just been one of those things where even when Gilbert Arenas was at his peak, when he was on fire for the Wizards, and they were a playoff team, they were competitive, they had a really good couple of series with Cleveland, like right after that, it was just like back to the same old Wizards, especially after all the gun stuff with Crittenton.
Yes, Seton.
It is a great landing spot, though, if you're like young, don't really care. I'm rich. I'm cashing massive checks. These games don't mean anything. I could just have fun, and I'm going to live the life of a young superstar because I just don't care. It's a great landing spot for that.
Yeah, because it's a football town.
I'm going to live in Malibu on my off time, like the off season. I'd still live in California. Who cares?
Yes, Mark.
And D.C. is underrated. It's a good time.
Oh. But,
yes.
Okay. Oh. Who and wants one?
Oh, am I you?
Okay.
Yeah.
Careful.
It's underrated.
Who's who and what's what?
Okay.
That's it.
All right. Fair enough.
It's a good time.
They'll put that in a magazine article. Watch it, Marvin.
Yeah. Marvin's going to be featured in Connecticut Huskies magazine.
You just said Georgetown is a good time, is what I just heard.
So. Oh, yeah.
UConn is like.
Oh, no.
George Mason. I love George Mason.
Yeah, I just heard Georgetown underrated. Really?
Who's my guy? Kyle Kuzma. Remember when everybody cared what Kyle Kuzma said and did and wore? when he go, to, you know, when he was with the Lakers, like, oh, did you see that outfit? Now he does it with Washington. Nobody cares.
Yeah, but he's still like he's still wearing clothes. He still gets like some attention for it. I'm going out to Fashion Week in Paris with me, James Harden, D Wade, whole bunch of dudes. He doesn't care.
Yeah, he does.
No, he doesn't.
He's not relevant. He wants to be with the Lakers.
He is living a good life.
Yeah, he was living a great life when he was with the Lakers.
It was better. Yeah. It was better. But it's still a hell of a life to live.
Yes, Todd.
DC work? Is that a thing? I'm not sure.
Yes, Paul.
The Wizards, there's worse franchises. You know, the Wizards make the playoffs pretty regularly, but they feel rudderless. They feel like one of those franchises you cannot picture them in the NBA Finals, like the Atlanta Hawks. You know, even then, Hawks have been pretty close. But remember when, I think as Porzingis got traded there from Dallas a few years ago, we came like, oh, he got traded to the Wizards.
Yeah.
Say goodbye to him. It's like we said goodbye to him.
Yes. We're not going to see you for a while.
All the best.
And that was the case. Thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers. You're going to the Wizards. Marvin, best and worst of the weekend.
Best, Dylan Gabriel from Oklahoma, quarterback. 5 passing touchdowns, 3 rushing touchdowns in a 59-20 victory over West Virginia. And worst of the weekend, Washington linebacker Alfonso Tupatola. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Oh my God.
He dropped the ball almost 2 yards before he got into the end zone.
Why are they doing this?
Have they not learned?
Why?
DeSean Jackson did this on national TV.
Yes.
And made a mockery.
He was an idiot when he did it.
They're like, oh, that's who you want to follow?
Like, what are you proving? Oh, man, I'm so nonchalant. I'm 2 yards from the end zone. I'm going to drop the ball here. Yes, Paul.
That play, the guy's name from Washington, Alfonso Tupatula, Tala, he fumbled at the 2-yard line on purpose. You know, he laid it down. Everyone and his teammates just run past the ball and ignore it. It's sitting there at the 2-yard line for Washington. A Utah player goes, and he just falls on it. The ref goes, first down.
Yeah, but why was he doing it on purpose?
Oh, like, well, he was like celebrating early.
Oh, okay.
He was doing the early celebration.
But that's been really early because you're not even in the end zone.
Right. That could have been one of the biggest mistakes in sports history.
Oh, my God.
The next play, Utah got Washington got a safety on Utah and all worked out. But let's say it went the other way and Utah won that game and Washington's out of the playoff picture.
Yeah, I know.
And Michael Penix might be out of the Heisman picture. That's a $23 million revenue swing if you're out of the playoffs.
I don't get these kids. Where you go, okay, get in the end zone. Then you could drop it. You made a great play, and then you make a stupid play.
There were some mixed feelings. People on the sidelines are giving a hug, all the best, all that. Some people on social media are like, I don't know, but maybe send him in the locker room. Maybe, you know, punish the guy.
Make him run the steps.
That was a galactically bad play.
Yes, Todd.
Did they initially call that a touchdown? Because I could have sworn that they actually reviewed that. That wasn't even close to crossing the plane. That was like closer to the 2-yard line than the goal line. And I think that, I guess they have to review every score.
Every
but that
score.
Was insane.
Camille in Arizona. Camille, best and worst of the weekend.
Good morning, Dan. I have the very, very best of the weekend and the worst I'm still bitter about. But anyhow, the very best is my husband and I are super proud because our son, Gavin Nesbitt, won his first Emmy. So this weekend in Houston, and he's a photojournalist at KSAT News 12 in San Antonio. And oh, my gosh, best thing ever, 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 ever.
Must be nice.
Yeah, you don't have to rub it in.
Yeah, I mean, our kids haven't amounted to anything, and now, you know.
I'm a kid of somebody. I don't have an Emmy.
Yeah.
Well, Dan, yeah, you have a bunch, but, like, if we're your children by some type of transference or something, we haven't won nothing.
No.
Well, Todd's got a couple.
Yeah, but, yeah.
It was amazing. It was like, and he only got one ticket to take, like, one guest, and my husband's a head football coach, a college coach, and he played a game that Saturday, and so I was like, yes, we don't have to arm wrestle for it. So it was great. It was, oh my gosh, like fantastic.
Yeah, we got it, Camille.
Let's
have an Emmy in the house.
We got it. You know, now you become my worst of the weekend.
Oh, sorry.
You know what? Oh, why don't you take a picture and send it to us, Camille?
We sure will. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks the same as all the other ones.
Yeah.
It just has a different name on it.
Okay. Thank you, Camille.
Now that I think about it, Todd doesn't flex enough on us. We have like Dead Dad Club. We got Dead Dog Club. We got all these things, but Emmy Winner Club, I think it's just the two of you.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that a club you want to be in with Todd? Or?
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know if he's really in the club with me. I mean, I earned it. Mine was a solo. What did you get an Emmy for?
There was a raffle in the parking lot at ESPN, and I had the highest.
No, that's not true.
No, he's got the same one that everybody there has.
Oh, that's
SportsCenter.
It's a SportsCenter participation 15, trophy.
15,000 people have worked on this show, so I got 7 Emmys because I was a PA on SportsCenter for a year and a half.
And they never gave a sports Emmy to the anchors. It was always the people behind the scenes. It was like, really? But you were just booking for SportsCenter.
Just.
I think actually other people were booking the show, and I just took credit for it.
Oh, here we go.
That's hurt face.
Oh, in a previous regime, we had to be on our own show, on the Dan Patrick show. Someone took credit for booking all the guys.
Little hurt face.
How it was on the Dan Patrick show.
Who's got hurt faith?
Who took credit for booking all the guests, Todd? On a previous regime.
Wasn't there someone named Phil the Show Killer? We played it up like he was lining up all the guests, and I didn't say a word about that. I'm going to throw it all out there. Just in my little cubicle, magically booking.
That was 20 years ago.
It didn't bother Paul.
Never brought it up.
My sports head Emmy was like from 2003. We're bringing that up. That was 20 years ago.
Wait, you were working with us in 2003. You weren't working on SportsCenter.
I was working on multiple things. They had me. I was on ESPN News and SportsCenter.
He was booking guests for those shows.
We're going to make them get their money's worth.
Yeah. So it was a participation trophy that you got. Everybody at ESPN got one of those.
Mine's made a Nerf, actually. You could just kind of mold
into a ball. Jake in Buffalo joins us. Hi, Jake. Best and worst of the weekend.
Hey, DP. I got a best and worst pie to the face button and a quick question for you.
Wow.
My best of the weekend was my Bills didn't play yesterday. It was nice to not be disappointed, just to have a NFL Sunday that didn't have to end in disappointment. We'll see how that goes tonight. My worst of the weekend was the fines that were announced on Friday. Falcons cornerback D. Alford was fined less than $5,000 for the hit on KJ Osborne that got him carted off and in concussion protocol. Josh Allen was fined almost $11,000 for pointing at a Bengals defender while running in a touchdown. Don't really get that.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. Yep.
Yeah, so I wanted to see if Fritzy wanted to do a pie to the face bet. His Broncos are getting 7 tonight. The way the Bills have played this year, anything can happen.
Are you giving Todd the 7?
Yeah.
I don't think that's enough for me to dive into that. The Bills are due to get back on track, and Denver already won 2 games in a row.
Jake, how many points would you give Todd?
You said earlier 9. Does he want the 9?
Todd, 9 points and the Broncos tonight.
I think the Bills should be winning by at least 13. And I would go for that.
I'm not taking that, but I hope he's right.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Jake.
That is a game the Bills should win by 2 touchdowns. Anything less than that, Buffalo has
problems. Yeah, but why is the line 7?
I don't know. You got to talk to the mafia that fixes these games.
Maybe. I don't think it's the mafia. But
whoever's fixing the game.
These are respectable people who do that. They don't fix the game. They give you the line.
And I'm sure it's going to be a 6 or 8 point game.
Roger in Orlando. They'll be tied going into the fourth quarter.
The game's going to end by 6 or 8 points.
Hey, Roger.
Hey, DP. How you doing, sir?
Good, bud.
Hey, got a triple best of the weekend. First one, wrapping up a family trip to Hilton Head for an annual oyster festival, which is always great. And then my alma mater, JMU Dukes, getting another win to keep that undefeated run going. Yeah. And then getting the game day coming next weekend. So, question I got for you, with this added pressure now with ESPN being there, any chance of this maybe parlaying into a possible reversal from NCAA to get to the bowl?
I don't know. I hope that they listen to them. And I think if you're a bowl, you should be able to invite who you want to if they're bowl eligible. I know that they're moving up in the NCAA, but they've been a great story this year. It'd be fun getting that opportunity to play in a bowl game. Jimmy in Virginia. Hi, Jimmy.
Oh, DP.
Hey, bud.
First time, long time.
Yeah.
5'9", a declining 204.
Okay.
Best of the weekend is maybe the Commanders have a quarterback for the future, and they'll be relevant again in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Worst of the weekend was the debacle where the referee decided to ask Corey Alexander if he made the right call at the end of the Virginia-Florida game Friday night. And Corey Alexander proceeded to show him. I don't know how we're going to get the commentators involved in helping referees get the call right.
Mm.
It seems like a slippery slope.
Shouldn't be asking that. No. Well, thank you, Jimmy. Yeah, I wasn't aware of that. But no, you shouldn't be asking an analyst, hey, how did it look in the monitor there? Mel in Santa Clarita. Hey, Mel.
Hey, good morning, fellas. I got a best of the week, a worst of the week, and a quick question. Best of the week, Justin Herbert reminding everybody why he is a top five quarterback yesterday. Worst of the week, Brandon Staley reminding everybody why he is a bottom five head coach in the NFL yesterday. And a quick question for you regarding the Chargers game. I don't know if you caught this, but the final drive, there was about a half-second differential between the game clock and the play clock. The play clock hit zero, and there was 2:01 on the game clock. I'm trying to figure out why they did not call it delay of game, if it was an error on the ref's part, or rather some rule that I'm completely unaware of.
I'm not aware of that, Mel. Yeah, Paulie?
One thing that's happened in the past couple of years, when the play clock hits zero, they don't call it instantaneously anymore, and it's been approved on both the college and pro level. It's not like the ref is sitting there looking at the clock, and when he sees it flash zero.
That is true.
They do wait a beat, which is weird because you're not really supposed to, but they do wait a beat after it hits zero. If it's like I see zero and I look and it's still not snapped.
But if they had a buzzer.
Right.
And the buzzer went off.
A gong.
Or something. All I know is, you know, when it shows zero on the clock and you're playing in a game and it goes down and that's it. If they had a buzzer for the play clock, then I wonder, then they would have to call it. That'd be good TV. Yes, yes, Mark.
If the Chargers make a change at the head coaching spot, do you think they're going to go for a big name, Harbaugh or not Jimbo, but somebody else in that same vein? Because they have a really good roster.
I remember mentioning this, and I heard from somebody in our industry who said if they're making a change, it'll be Kellen Moore. And I'm thinking, well, Kellen Moore is on Brandon Staley's staff, but I don't know anybody with the Chargers. But somebody did text me during the show when I mentioned that if they did make a change, you know, who would they look at? Would they look at Lincoln Riley? And then I'm thinking, if I'm Lincoln Riley, unless I really want to coach in the NFL, I want to get this right at USC. But without Caleb Williams, makes it a whole lot tougher. You're going to try to, you couldn't get it right with Caleb Williams. Now you're going to try to do that without him. Yes, Todd.
If you're the Chargers, don't you have to make a big splash? They have the secondary team, even tertiary. Not a lot of people are even into the Rams that are in LA. But everyone that goes to SoFi, it seems like most of them are rooting for the other team to a much more extent with the Chargers. So I feel like to be relevant, they have to get some kind of big name at some point.
You know what would make a splash is winning. That's what
that would help.
That's what I'd like to do. Win a playoff game. That's what I would like. But who is your splash guy? Like there, unless the NCAA is really going to come down hard on Michigan and it affects NIL and scholarships and things like that, I don't think Jim Harbaugh is going anywhere. In fact, it seems like they're more emboldened. It's them against the college football world there. So who are you bringing in? If you're Lincoln Riley, would you go from USC to the Chargers? I know you got Justin Herbert. That can help. But, I mean, I don't know what Lincoln Riley's priorities are. Yes, Marv.
Sorry. Kind of off topic, but kind of on the same vein. The Chargers, the Raiders, they're going to be in the same boat because last night, did you hear all the Jets fans? It feels like that stadium is going to be more of like a neutral site game. Even though the Raiders have a great fan base, but it's in a new city. It's not Oakland. It's not L.A. You heard a bunch of J-E-T-S.
The Lions fans traveled.
Oh,
They traveled.
They've been waiting.
Yeah, they are. Let's take a break. Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow, right after this.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone anytime with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.